at the word of his son. This wonderful, beautiful earth that we live in was created, and the heavens and the angels were created to worship Jesus. Last week, we learned that it's not about us. Don't kid yourself. Your time on this earth is just a blip. Your accomplishment, just a blip. You'll soon be forgotten. All of us, in 150 years, just like we can't remember those who lived 150 years ago. It's not about you. Any one of us here, we check out. And the earth will continue exactly as it's going today. But there's a name that will never be forgotten. His name is Jesus. Last week, we learned that all things were created for him and by him. And in him, all things consist, both things in heaven and on earth and underneath the earth. In him is life, and that life is the light of men. So that Christ may be present in all of our consciousness at all times. Because the Word became flesh, and that flesh dwell amidst us. God became flesh, and finally we were able to see God. And so when the disciple said, okay, just show me the Father, and then you will not need to do all this teaching and preaching again. The son said, Philip, have you been with me so long, and you still have not seen the Father? Because whoever has seen me has seen the Father. The Word became flesh. And we beheld his glory, and his glory sincerely was like the glory of someone who was born by God. And of him we have received from grace to grace, because the law, religion, structure was given by Moses, but life and peace came through Jesus. And so he's called your Prince of Peace. This is why we're here, brothers and sisters, because we all die, but Christ has given us life, because there's hope in Jesus our Savior. We're here to celebrate him. 6 days in a week, he has given to us to pursue our professions, get our acts together, till our grants. But for a few hours, every Sunday, we come and we exalt Jesus, the giver of life. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity. And we bless your name for today. Please open our eyes that we may see you. Not doctrine, not teaching, not tradition, not ourselves, not our magisteria, our fleeting magisteria. Last week you said to us that, behold, all flesh is as grass, and all the glories of man, they are like mere flowers. He said that the grass, the flowers will fall away, the grass will wither, because the breath of the Lord falls upon them. But those who put their trust in you, they will live forever and ever. I pray, Lord, that every listening ear will be taught of the Spirit. You said you made all things visible and invisible, whether they be principalities or powers or thrones and dominion, things seen and unseen. Father, please give every heart here the grace to see the unseen in Jesus' name. Exalt yourself, darling Jesus. Those that receive you have life. Those that do not have the Son have not life. Give us life in Jesus' name. As we open your word, please interpret it to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 25. 27. Praise the Lord. We'll continue where we left off last week. Last week, we led off with a topic that says, very simple, a hackneyed phrase, maybe not hackneyed actually, a phrase that needs to be well known among us. Very simple, but it's very necessary. Very, very necessary. Just a simple phrase that says, Jesus is the head of the church. Please repeat it after me. If there's any sermon that, honestly, if I was dictating the agenda of religion in the world, if the heavens had a cardinal in charge of theology that selects the topic for every church every Sunday, for the next 4 years, I will insist that every pulpit must preach on Jesus is the head of the church. I mean, you can say to me, Brawale Dara, everybody knows that. But not everybody knows that. In fact, today we don't act like Jesus is the head of the church. There are lots of plans, but it doesn't seem like Jesus is the head of it. At times we actually think we are helping Jesus, that somehow we can help him, that we are necessary to Christ to further his purpose. The very strange thing is that if you read the Bible, the apostles never felt so. Sister Tola, last week we said that literally in the New Testament, if you open any page, you will hear about Jesus. How is it that we can go 1 year preaching sermons and it's about every other topic? We can go 7 Sundays in praise and worship and you hear the name of Jesus maybe twice. Whereas this whole churching experience is about who?
Jesus.
I haven't seen you in a while.
Yes. Yeah.
How are you, sir? Good morning. Nice to see you. Jesus is the head of the church. I told you, I'm not going to say, Wes. Not everybody is in the main auditorium. Where the usual suspects? I want us to stand up and repeat something. It's called, someone accused me, I said it last week, of preaching church history. I said, maybe if we listen to history, we won't repeat the mistakes of history, right? I think one of the things is we really do not know church history. Because if we did, some of the mistakes we are making today, the people before us, sincerely, they've made them, and we wouldn't need to repeat them. But I'm not going to preach church history. I do want us to recite what they call the Nicene Creed. Who's familiar with the Nicene Creed? Up. Up. Kai, all of us should be, all the Anglicans, they'll be familiar because it's their church father that wrote those. But it's one of those ancient writings in church history that I think captures the essence of what we believe. And we Christians need to have traditions that are stemmed in good Christocentric theology. Big words. It means Christ-centered teaching. So there was a fight long ago about what we believe. And just like there's a fight today about what we truly believe. Because if you spoke with a Baptist, they believe one thing. With a Methodist, we believe another thing. If you go to the church upstairs, then downstairs, as though we are not one family. So they had that problem and the fathers got together. And they met. They had a meeting. Days, maybe weeks. And they came out with a statement of belief for every Christian worldwide. I would think we already have it in the Bible, but it brought up the statement. So I'd like us to read it. Just repeat after me. Everybody, please stand up. If you're a believer here, this is what our church, traditional church fathers, right around the 4th century, put together as the summary of the New Testament. Since we be, please repeat after me, we believe. There's no conviction in that. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. The Catholic church there does not mean the, it means worldwide, right? So just to correct that. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead. We look for the resurrection of the dead. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Praise the Lord. Please be seated. Everywhere we go, we must know what we believe as Christians. Christ is the head of the church. Let's go. We read from Colossians last week. We're going to go to the book of Revelations that we just read this morning. And we're going to continue to dig into the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ there. Again, the whole Bible is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Your Christian experience must be centered around who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, give me a second. Chapter 5. Anike. Anike is not there. We're going to project that. I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is it that is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seal?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. What happened in verse 4? That's how important that was. Why do you think the Bible said he wept? This man recorded that he wept. No man. Were the church fathers able to open the scroll? Was your general overseer able to open the scroll? Was the pastor of your church able to open the scroll? No man. I don't want to go that past that point too quickly. Christ will not share his glory with. Today we're ascribing the glory of Jesus to the Pope, to general overseers, and to pastors. And you wonder why the church is so cold. In the days of miracles, when the apostles, by their shadows merely, they were able to raise the dead, they made sure that people knew only Jesus. Barabumi preached a sermon in which he reminded us that when people try to magnify them, they tore their clothes. Because this matter, no be small matter. Sorry, this is not an easy matter. This is the center of pure doctrine. Jesus lies at the center of every true Christian experience. Not how to bring our youth back into the church or how to make the church more attractive to young people. All of those are byproducts of exalting Jesus Christ. We have been organizing for so long, and yet we're getting less results than when mere illiterates were preaching the gospel. Do you know why? They knew what Paul knew when he wrote to the Corinthians, said, "When I came to you, I determined to know nothing else except one doctrine." What was that doctrine? Jesus and him being crucified. Where is the cross of Jesus Christ in our discourse today? Or Where's the reminder that Jesus is coming every day? We all live as though we have time. He wept. As Jesus looks down on earth today and he sees all of our church buildings. I was joking with someone, Sister Tola. You sat in front. I'm going to pick on you. And besides, I haven't seen you in a while, so.
Yes.
What was the address of the church in Ephesus? Oh, how about the one in Corinth? In Colossae, Thessalonica, Smyrna, Philadelphia. They had no physical address. Where did they meet? What was the size of their choir? What was the name of their pastor? Tell me, what's the name of the pastor of the church in Corinth? You have to know. You have been reading the Bible all of this time. What was his name? I have mentioned about nine churches. None of you can tell me their address of their building, the size of their choir, or the names of their pastors. None of you. How come? Are we not reading our Bible, Jemima? How come we don't know their names and their addresses? You have to answer. It's not a hypothetical question. I really am curious because I've been reading the New Testament. I do not see the names of their general overseer. Someone, please tell me. It's not hypo. You have to answer. Please pass the mic around. I know there are Bible scholars here. Someone, please tell me. In Smyrna, what's the name of that? They wrote a whole letter. Christ, John wrote a whole letter about the church in Smyrna. He did not mention the name of their bishop or their elder. How come? Is the Bible missing something, or are we structuring church different from what Jesus intends? We go to church. They were the church. Do you notice the difference? Do you notice why the Holy Spirit is not moving? Because we literally go to church, but they. I just want to be sure you're paying attention. They. Are we reading our Bibles wrong? Paul said, the Christians in Thessalonica are more what? More what? I want the old King James. He used the word that I love there. They are more what? Noble. I'm from Kwara. We used to make noble beer. No, I didn't say I drank it. I said we made it. We made our King biscuits and noble beer. So we didn't have a lot. So we're proud of the ones. No, except for the noble. Which one? Trophy, sorry, it wasn't. Yeah, trophy. Are you from Kwara? Oh, there's so few of us around there. Yeah, Elisha made trophy. I thought we made trophy. Oh, okay. We can't claim that one, right? We don't. We're going to claim the ECOWAS and the Christian missionaries. Yes, they were more noble because they came and listened to Almighty Paul, who wrote basically 75% of the New Testament, the ultimate theologian. The geo of all geos. And he said they are more noble than the ones in Thessalonica because guess what? Of all the people I ministered to, these were the folks that went home to check their scriptures to see whether what they were hearing was true or false. They did not take it on my own personal integrity. And he said they are noble. I love them. I love them. Christ is the head of his church. I've refused to move on from this topic third week now because it's important. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We Christians in our generation are shackled by personalities and false doctrines and church fathers. We don't test to see whether what we're hearing is true or not. Please help me delve to that passage that we finished up last week. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31. Jeremiah? Isaiah? Jeremiah? Has to be Jeremiah. Who will volunteer to read that? Because this prophecy is true today. will volunteer. We are always afraid. Look, it's only the young ones that will be bold. Those of us who that were tainted by religion, decades of tradition. And Jesus said, these people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. In vain do they worship me, because they are now teaching as doctrine the things that are precepts of men. They are teaching traditions. They are not checking Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They are writing billions of books. And the wise man said, of the writing of books, there will be no end. They are no longer teaching Christ said. They are teaching what they learned from seminary. Decades old of error, compounded. Whereas the truth of Jesus is simple. Love me. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. They're teaching us to make donations and build churches. Whereas Jesus said, what did Jesus say? If you want to give to me, if you really want to give to Jesus,
Those are the
where are you from? I just use the sheet. You can just print the rest of the sermon. We have 1,001 books about giving, but the simple Christian theology is when you wake up in the morning and you want to give something to Jesus, who do you give it to? Do you? Okay, I'm not saying you shouldn't put things in the offering of so let me correct that. I'm not saying that. But really, when you are thinking about giving to Jesus, what's the biblical guideline? So you give to what? To the least of the brethren. Whatever you do, is it whatever building you build? How many churches you build? How many members are in your church? How many hours you spend on the mountaintop? He said, what you have done for me is what you have done for what? The least, and many will come to me and say, why are we not great pastors preaching in your name? Did we not hold a seminar? Did we not do crusade and liberty in Ikorodu? And I may say to you, I never knew you. How come? How can I preach? How can I do all? And you say, you never knew me? I had 10 branches. Say, I never knew you. You workers of iniquity, get away from me. Whatever you do, he said, many will come. Said, but when I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was thirsty, did you give me to drink? When I was in prison, did you visit with me? Or did you just say, bless you? Do you know how many times we've put blessings? I'm saying this to you, young people, so that you will know the real Jesus. I want you to know the real Jesus. He was a compassionate, relatable, loving, kind. He was not a God, a geo, a man that is not touched by the feelings of your infirmities in school or work or school. Or, I don't know. I haven't seen you for a long time, so I don't know where you are now. Good. He feels the pain of the homework. Relatable. He did not sit behind with bodyguards waiting to be ushered to the front seat so that I can preach a sermon to you and jet back. No, he was with you at home in the road with the beggars, with the lepers, touching them, blessing them, eating in their homes. That is the Jesus that gave birth to me and you. We must deconstruct the lies so that we will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set us free. Long time ago, the Spirit of the Lord was speaking in Jeremiah. And here was what the Lord had to say. He said, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power. You know what shocked me in this? The next line. What does it say? Ooh. Tell me, is this prophecy true today or not? I see brilliant Christians, engineers, doctors, lawyers, master's degree, PhDs, brilliant people celebrated in their fields. And but when it comes to the things of religion, they love it so. Paul said it another way to the Corinthians. He said, there are many people telling you many things. I come and I serve you. I walk among you. I'm not cheating you. I'm preaching the truth to you. He said, another will come in their own names. Super apostles, he calls them. He said, they will slap you. They will shake you. They will rob you. He said, you love them.
The priests rule by their own power rather than by the authority of Jesus. You don't hear Jesus said, they can't show you where Jesus told you to do the things that they are telling you to do. And you love it so. And you love it so. And you love it. That was what got me in this passage. That was why I picked it. Said, my people love to have it so. This was thousands of years ago. It's happening today. They tell you to bring your tithe and offering. Say, as long as I put it in the basket, I don't care what they do with it. Meanwhile, you don't do the same with your 401k. Anyway, some of us do. That's why we retire poor. You should not. On judgment day, the Lord will ask you, say, I did not just give you money, I gave you sense. And you're accountable for every talent that you have been given. What do you think the parable of the talents is for? Because they don't teach us about Jesus anymore. They teach us theories and principles. What's the parable of the talent? What does it mean that a man buried his talent? He did not eat it. He just buried it and he returned it. What's that interpretation of that parable in our modern churching experience? Sister Tola, I should just stop picking on you. What's this? Have you ever tried to interpret? What did Jesus, or it's not relevant to us. So what does it mean that they buried their talent? But remember, they didn't eat it, but they just buried it. What does that mean? Yes, they did not value it. I think I'm looking for something. Yes, I agree. Talent.
I think that they were lazy.
Thank you. Thank you. How many of you have inherited a great company from your father? Great company.
No, I wanted to say they didn't use their brain.
Yes. Let me ask you. You see, Judgment Day will be very interesting. You know, in this church, we don't like to do traditional preaching. We have discourses, right? Because that was what Christ had. Right? People related. I'm sorry. Yeah, they related. So because the object of sermon is not to show you how much of the Bible I've memorized in order to come and download it on Sunday. It's for us to have mutual understanding. For me to learn. This pulpit dichotomy is not a New Testament construct. We're supposed, you all are filled with gifts and we should have an exchange every Sunday. They did not think about it. They were lazy about it. Now, I was asking, the way the Lord taught me that parable, he said, if your father, Professor Ibikunle, I think it's not Adekunle, it's Ibikunle, Adeniyi. If he were to bequeath to you a good company, well-run service, and you are responsible for it, he says, occupy and then give it to my grandchildren, right? And you just write every month, the only duty is just to write a check to, you know, for the salaries of the employee. You don't ask about the bottom line. You don't ask what they are doing, the productivity of the company. You don't ask what kind of child will they call you. You don't care. Just your job is just to write the check. I don't care what the directors do with the money. I don't care what the workers do. My job is just to write the check. How long will the company last? That's what you do. That's what you do when you don't show more interest in God's work than the bare minimum. That's what it means, that you have your talent, you're not eating it, but you're not being a diligent servant. In this church, we say that the money you make, because you spend your time at work, you're exchanging money for it. What that money is used for is the reflection of the productivity, your spiritual productivity. It's not by chance that God has you and I walking in the marketplace so that some people can preach the gospel. It is our job to make sure they are preaching it, or we do withdraw that money from them and give it to people who are building a company. That's what it means. My people love it so. But what will you do at the end? On judgment day, how will you give account? Judgment is coming, brothers and sisters.
I'm speaking to Christians today. I'm aware that there are some people among us who are not. But the Bible says that judgment has to start from the house of the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, 7, 8. He said, if the righteous are scarcely saved, then what will be the end of those who do not believe? It's time to awaken. Let true religion revive. Let's present Jesus the way he is. The world is not seeing the gentle, suffering, patient, loving Jesus anymore. The world is seeing religion. We don't even love one another anymore. How can there be love in a church and the church closes? Some people are in the hot sun taking taxis and some people are in AC'd cars and nobody ever thinks to say, may I drop you at home? Love is not a subjective concept. It's tangible. My daughter and I this morning were memorizing the passage in this 1 John 4, 7. I better remember this. It says, beloved, love one another because love is of God. And those that love, they are of God or thereabout. They are born of God and they know God. By this shall people know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. And I think, how many minutes do I have left? You did not set it well. How long have we been going on? 30 minutes? Up to? Okay. Jesus is the head of the church and he loves you so much. For you, you are not just a member of a church to Jesus Christ. One illustration I love is if you are the only believer here, Christ will still have died for you. You are not just a number. You are not just a tight pair. He said, see what manner of God of love the Lord has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Christ, in the book of John, he said, go tell my brothers that I go to my Father and their Father. The Bible calls us heirs, joint heirs with Christ. If so be we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified with him. This Christianity thing is not a story, people. That's why you may be suffering today. Things may not work out well for you. He said, but rejoice and be exceedingly glad. It's going to work out. Your Messiah was a sufferer. In Isaiah 53, the Bible says it was a man that was familiar with sorrow. Don't worry. Christ has it sorted out. When we close our eyes, it will turn all of our mourning into dancing again. He has gone to prepare a place for you. Oh, the hope of those who will not share in this glorious resurrection. Christ has come to proclaim life, eternal life to all of us. It doesn't matter whether you're a king or you're a pauper. You have an eternity set out to enjoy the glory of the Lord. Are you going to miss out on this glory? Are you going to preoccupy yourself with religion? Or will you strip up religion and look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith? The church may think you are just a number. Jesus does not. He knows you by name. He loves you. There are billions of individuals. But for you, he has granted that your ears will be opened to the gospel. Because he says, I know the plan that I have towards you. There are plans of good and not of evil. I plan to bring you to an expected end. No one was worthy, so he wept. But one of the elders said, do not weep. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the lion of the tribe of Judah. I just want to magnify Jesus before you today. We preach Jesus. Set yourself free. Look at the Lamb of God that takes away, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. What title compares to the title of the Lion of the tribe of Judah? The Lion, greater than David, greater than before Abraham. That's your brother. Your brother is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I don't think you get it. I don't think you get it. Your friend is the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
That's the truth, whether you believe it or not. The root of the David that you and I love so much. He has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose the seven seals. And guess what? In this passage, he took the scroll. I want to scroll down a bit. Something strange happened before Jesus in verse 8. I don't know who these people are. The Bible does not talk about them much. I know they said they are elders, but they are not elders like Brother Peter and Brother Kunlio. Those ones are wire-carrying elders. They don't have crown on their head. Look at them. Look at them. They are men elders. They don't have thrones. Eh? What kind of elder? You don't even have thrones. Eh? Eh? They are not like Brother Bumi. Look at it. No throne. No nothing. These are elders. They control all heavenly. No, don't let me out to the Bible. I just know that they are distinguished men. See what they did in that verse 8 when they saw Jesus. The same Jesus that you and I, they said we must call them apostles and bishops. Meanwhile, when we call Jesus, we just say Jesus. And he does not complain. He still loves us. If you make the mistake and look them in the face, they say, how dare you? When were you born? But the Jesus who born them, we call him Jesus and he's not offended. See the difference. Listen, I will magnify the Lord. Him alone I will preach. His testimony I will bear. These guys, they fell down. They could not be wearing their crown. They had to do what? I think they dropped their crown, right? In which verse? Okay, there was a verse in which they... The same Jesus that some of you praise and you are chewing gums. Distinguished elders could not bear. They dropped the crown and they worshiped the Lord Jesus. Let your Christianity be centered around the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Exalt him. Tell everybody, every book that you have when you get home that does not talk about Jesus, burn it. Burn it. Go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let the Lord Jesus be magnified in your heart. Jesus is the head of the church, and this is all about our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the core of beautiful Christianity. When in those days, faith was hot in villages all over. This was what the market woman knows, that she was seeing visions. If you determine to know nothing but Jesus, he will come in and dine with you. If you repent of your sins, if you are very honest with Jesus, he will fill you with his life. If you strip yourself of religion and just say, I want to know Jesus, Jesus will come into your life and you will discover a life such as you've never known before. It's all about, it's not about these buildings. It's not about these structures that we put into place. Let the Holy Spirit, let me tell you in closing, I mentioned it last week, I will mention it again. Let me tell you in closing, I think it's in John chapter 16, verse 13, right? The Bible says something very curious about the Holy Spirit, because at times, when we are not sure, we'll say, we'll blame it on the Holy Spirit. Very convenient excuse for us. At times, we avoid Christian responsibility by saying the Spirit will tell us, right? Which is true. He does tell us, right? But let's say something about the Holy Spirit. In that John chapter 16, Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Spirit. Then he says something that I can tell you no New Testament modern day Christian will say, and yet it's in the Bible. He said, the Spirit will not speak of himself. Peace. Peace. Rapture has not happened, don't worry. At least Babumi is still here. He said, the Holy Spirit does not what? I'm going to end in 2 minutes. Don't be tired. Just bear with me. He said the Holy Spirit will not what? But what? He hears, he shall say. Have you ever had anybody tell you that? Because I hear about the dispensation of the Spirit all the time. The dispensation, every time the Holy Spirit opens his mouth, he is magnifying Jesus. His sole job is to magnify Jesus. Anytime someone tells you the Spirit says, and there's no glory of Jesus, the honor of Jesus, the person of Jesus attached to it, that is not the Spirit speaking. Because the Spirit does not speak about anything but Jesus. It does not perform miracle except to exalt Jesus. He does not have his own message and his own dispensation. He reminds us of what Jesus said. That's how you know the Spirit of God from the and differentiates the Spirit of God from the fake spirit from Satan. The Holy Spirit, anywhere where the Spirit is, Jesus is magnified. If you go to any congregation and they are falling over and swimming over and Christ is not magnified, that is not the Spirit. The way to know whether what you are receiving is from the Spirit is, does it advance the purpose of Jesus Christ or not? Because that's the only thing. It doesn't do any... Am I lying? Am I stretching that verse? Am I lying? Isn't that what it says? It is. Let's sing a song and close the service. Rise. Someone with a good voice will lead us in. All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. King of kings. Lord of lords. Bright morning star. And through all eternity, I'll sing your praises. And forevermore, I will reign with thee. All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. And through all eternity, I'll sing your praises, and forevermore I will reign with thee.
I saw the song that says, I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. When the wheels in your face and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth. That will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself, it's not what you have required. No, no, you search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart.
Coming back.
I'm coming back to the heart of
worship when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
I'm sorry, Lord, for the
needed when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've needed when it's all about you. It's all about you,
The Lord is
Jesus.
calling on us to repent. The Lord is, some of you here were saved. Some of you understand the things that we have been talking about. Some of you are part of the great movement that honored the Lord Jesus Christ. Movement full of evangelism and grace and peace. When fellowship was marked by the love of the Lord, when we looked to the coming world, not the present one. Some of you here, the Holy Ghost is testifying and reminding you this morning that you know the truth and you know the way. Now judgment will start from the house of the Lord. God is calling you to repent. He's calling you to simplify your Christian walk. Another passage says, go to the highways and stand in the ways and look at the old paths where the good ways are, the paths where your fathers walked. God is calling us to repentance. The Holy Spirit is testifying that He has taught you well, and you know, He's calling you to return. We're not entertaining, I'm not. I'm not here to have a blanket indictment on my generation. I'm equally guilty. But I'm sounding a voice that Jesus is calling us Christians to amend our ways, to remove our hearts from lust, to set our gaze away from the present world, and to start showing the world the true life of God. As many of you as the Holy Spirit is, if once you've tasted of the Holy Communion, if you've repented from your sins, if God has saved you from the world and you are back into the world today, the Holy Spirit is calling you back before it's too late. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of such a way is the very way to perdition. But the backslider in heart is always right in his own eyes. But a good man will be gifted from above. God is saying, no play, no religion. On that day, He will definitely separate the serious from the unserious. The lukewarm, He will spew out of His mouth. Don't let it be too late, for it has been given unto man once to repent, and after that is the judgment of God. The Holy Spirit is testifying to those of you who are born. This message is for born-again Christians. Remember the Lord that you came to. Those of you who have embraced new ways, go back to the ancient plan, the good old religion. Seek Jesus and Jesus alone. I pray that we'll go back home and let the Holy Spirit do His work to remind us of Jesus. I pray there will be changes in our lives. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, and worship you. Thank you for your word, Lord. Your word may seem like nothing to the world. He said it's foolishness to the world, but to those of us that believe, it's the power of God. Thank you for giving us the word, O Lord. Please enlighten our hearts to understand. Help us to be like virgins with oil, prepared. Help us, God, to put away useless things that we may serve you, that the world may know that we belong to you. Help us not to be ashamed of your cross. Help us not to embrace worldly theologies and philosophies. Help us to be faithful to the Lamb of God that took away our sins. Give us this grace. Let there be revival in our time, O Lord. Help us to see the world as you see it, that we may glorify you. Please let not this word perish in our hearts today. He said we will know the truth and it will set us free. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.